This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:06, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott, alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Uncle Ralph, welcome back.
Yeah. Have I been gone?
I think you have.
Oh, okay.
And see, I knew the reward that you for taking off, we've got two sheriffs here.
Yeah, I know.
So what did you do?
We got two sheriffs, and then we got Mickey.
Well, I got a press release on Mickey this.
Did you?
Before the show started. He has changed his name. He is no longer named Mickey Robinson. It's Mickey Tarasenko.
Well, I'll tell you a story about Mickey.
He's turning red.
Yeah.
If you notice his face, it's turning red here.
Somebody caught him walking on the water, and he was feeling pretty good about it, and they hollered at him and said, "Hey, what's the matter, buddy? Don't you know how to swim?"
Gosh. So. Oh, man.
Can't win them all.
You can't win them all. Our guests this week on the Wednesday Talk Show, Macoupin County Sheriff Don Albright and Montgomery County Sheriff Jim Vazzi. Our conversation starts right after this.
Making final arrangements at the time of need is difficult for even the strongest of families. While we do everything we can to make things easier, there is a better way. At Plummer Funeral Home, we offer pre-arranged funeral planning, allowing you to make your wishes known in a quiet, dignified way. It gives you time to consider the different options and then create a personalized service that will reflect your individual wishes and beliefs. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday Talk Show, Tobin Ott, alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus, our guest this week, Macoupin County Sheriff Don Albright and Montgomery County Sheriff Jim Vazzi. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. This is a kind of like a yearly tradition we have you guys in here at the same time.
Yeah, Tobin, I certainly appreciate it, getting together with my neighboring sheriff here.
Yep, and I likewise. I just appreciate the time and coming out here and being able to talk to all the people out there in Montgomery County and Macoupin County.
And there's a lot to talk about since the last time you guys were on the show. I know one of the main hot topics that's being discussed here lately is school safety. And let's touch a little bit on school safety. In the advent of the Connecticut school shooting, I guess the game has changed regarding school safety, hasn't it?
Well, I don't think the game has necessarily changed, but there's certainly a more heightened awareness of what the game is, so to speak. And, the Connecticut, the Sandy Hook incident certainly brought forth a lot of national attention, probably that we haven't seen since, the Colorado situation several years ago. And I think several years ago we had a situation where the federal government was funding school resource officers and other law enforcement officers, and more recently those grants to fund those have been harder to come by, so you've got a less of a law enforcement presence in the schools.
I think you're right, and I believe, they're blaming all this on to assault weapons, but, it's these people who are out there who are shooting the guns. The guns aren't doing it themselves, so, we have to keep that in mind. That's in the forefront. We have people who, of course, have to be mentally deranged to be doing something like this, and then they have the ability to get a weapon, whether legally or illegally. So I believe that's the problem we have is the mentally ill and they getting a hold of assault weapons.
And that's a different ballgame among itself to make sure there's enough, A, funding for this, and B, treatment available for the mentally ill if they're willing to accept it.
Always been. That's what's always has been the top thing is funding, and then, of course, their ability to want to accept it.
And that's certainly true. But bottom line is that our agencies and law enforcement agencies and school districts all over the country can't wait for the federal government to come and help us do our jobs. We have to do our jobs with what we have at hand at this point. And, I called a meeting over in Macoupin County along with Regional Superintendent Pfeiffer on the 20th of December, and we had about 40 attendees. Every law enforcement administrator from Macoupin County, including state and federal agencies that operate there, and every school district is represented by an administrator. And we got together and we talked about school safety, what school safety has been in the past, what it should be in the future, and what it is in the present. And you know, one of the things that came out of that meeting was that we need to have a better interaction between the school districts and law enforcement, and do some joint training, so that the people in the schools, if they're faced with a situation such as Sandy Hook, they know how to react, and they know how to react quickly to save the most lives.
And probably some of these things can be looked upon as copycats, so to speak. When this guy reads about so-and-so doing this, and he wants to do it, and blah, blah, blah. And you spoke earlier of, assault weapon control and all this stuff, and this may be a deterrent to a great degree, but there'll always be ways for someone to do bodily harm if that is their goal to do it, and it would be very difficult to stop all of them.
Yeah, you look at Chicago, Ralph, one of the strictest gun laws around, and of course Illinois with the only non-concealed carry state. Chicago had 500 murders last year.
Yeah.
Now, was that done with legal guns or illegal guns?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You probably know the answer to that. And while we're speaking of Chicago, Jim, I read in the paper this morning, well, Cook County or Chicago area has another distinction. They're the bud bug capital of the world now.
I did see that also.
Yes. So now they got another thing to, how to eradicate them.
It's always a big thing. You know, in our meeting over in Macoupin, we came to the conclusion real quickly that this shouldn't become a debate over pro-gun, anti-gun, that this debate should focus on how we can best protect our kids.
And that's a tricky line to watch, because you have emotions involved.
Yes.
And if the emotions go too far, then it's just going to wash out every positive thing, like your meeting or Sheriff Ozzie,
we've had a meeting also.
You know, that would wash out any effort whatsoever. And I think there's rumblings both on the state and federal level. What's going to happen here? You know, it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch what's going to happen.
We got to start doing the local things. Start worrying about our local things and let the rest of the country take care of themselves. For an example, you were discussing that a few years ago when that Colorado situation happened. Mm-hmm. Staunton School District took a lockdown system and locked all their doors. And now after this recent incident, they're going to start locking the doors on the inside. They did some of them before, but now they're making sure all of them. And I have not heard about another school doing them, because I've not been talking to anybody yet.
And that's you bring up a point. These school districts, and I know locally with Montgomery County, with the area that I cover, you're already starting seeing the school districts come up with their own safety plan. In effect, that in case something happens, they know what to do and where to go in the event of an emergency.
Yeah, they all have one done. I believe all the school systems it's mandated. We've likewise have been training with them and training in schools. My people can't wait for an assault team from state police or ILEAS or anybody. We're going to be the first responders. What we're doing is we do train every month, and we train in a school. We train in the old WIT school, and we use seminitions, which is almost like a live round. It shoots at 400 feet per second and then has a die on it, and you do real-life scenarios. So we have, say, a shooter in there who has people captive or whatever, and we go in, and we're going to go in, and we're going to disarm him or shoot him.
You know, my deputies participate in those activities also, and it's just like anything else. You know, familiarity breeds confidence. And if you're familiar with what you need to do in a certain situation, mm-hmm. you're going to be more confident to go in and handle a situation. And as Sheriff Ozzie said, you know, you can't, if you get into a situation where you're responding to a school shooting or some other kind of school violence, you have to make the effort to stop that threat the first people on scene. That's a national format for how to do it.
And that includes working together, whether it's the sheriff's office, locally, the local police departments, and even state police, all three of you, because Sheriff Ozzie, you just mentioned that you guys would probably be the first responders, but if your deputies are out handling another thing, it will probably trickle down to the local levels first because they're already there.
We have, and what we've done is, Tobin, we've contacted all the agencies, police agencies here in Montgomery County, and February 1st, we will all be training together in tactical response to, say, a school shooting, and so that we do have the familiarity, like Don said, with each other, and each other knows how each one's going to move. So we're going to do it with all the local agencies, not just my agency. My agency does it once a month anyway, right. But now we're going to increase that and do with all the agencies, especially those who are working days.
And you said the training's already happening at the Witt School. That gives you a scenario of an old high school building and an elementary school building. So that's like a perfect setting for training to happen.
It is, and we have like 15 people scheduled to train on the 1st of February. So this is going to be one of those true life scenarios, like I said, with seminitions, and they'll be in a live scenario and being able to, you know, just see how they're going to react.
And law enforcement, of course, can only carry this ball so far, and public awareness, parent awareness of what some symptoms might be of someone who has some mental problems or whatever, and I think there has to be a better awareness by the general public as well as parents and all of us who walk the streets to be aware of what's going on around us a little more and not just look the other way when you see somebody that maybe is a little disturbed or something. We have to all take part of the responsibility.
It's a similar situation to, you know, somebody told me years ago that punishment for crimes are devised by law-abiding people. So it's hard to deter criminals with the potential punishment that's devised by law-abiding people, you know. So it's also hard to figure out what kind of deranged or mentally ill person, what they're going to do next. You know, we have a lot of psychologists out there that can help us with that, but you're looking at an open book there. If it's to be done, they're going to figure out a way to do it. If they're deranged enough or mentally unstable or just vindictive enough that they want revenge for some incident. You know, it's like we're going to do everything within our power to protect these children in their schools, mm-hmm. work with the school administration and law enforcement to work together. But if someone is bound and determined, they're going to do something one way or another.
And you're dealing with mental illness, and as we talked earlier, if that individual does not want to get help because they're not bound to get help if they don't want to, if they don't want it, ball game over too. I mean, they have to be willing to say, okay, we have a problem here. I need help and get the help.
Well, likewise, we have a problem, though, too, in that we can't be told how deranged these people are. I mean,
right.
Because of the HIPAA laws, you know, so we're at a disadvantage. There's doctors out there who know this guy could be the next one to do it, but he can't tell us.
Exactly.
So we can't be aware of what's going on around us.
I mean, we've used...
And that's a problem, Ralph.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Big problem.
We've used the knowledge to protect our children from sex offenders. It's on every web. You know, every state has a website where you can go see a sex offender's picture, where they live, map of where they live, but you can't find out who a person is who's mentally ill because it falls under the Medical Privacy Act,
right.
HIPAA. You know,
right.
and that. You know, you can't just tell by looking at people that they're going to do something like this.
With everything going on, with the Connecticut shootings, we had the Colorado shootings not too long before that. You're hearing rumblings. President Obama wants legislation or wants Congress to enact tougher gun laws. Governor Pat Quinn said basically the same thing. He wants to do something tougher in Illinois. What does the future hold here? We were talking about this off the air. Are we getting to the point where we're going to see deputies or police officers at every entrance of a high school during any time period that building is open, metal detectors in the building? Where are we headed here?
I think we're cost prohibited from participating
right.
in that type of security. I mean, it goes back to Chicago, the most strict laws there are. 500 murders. So if they want to do something, Tobin, mm-hmm. no matter how many laws you make on federal and the state level for firearms, they're going to do it, you know.
You find, we in Macoupin and Montgomery County, we have many, many, many law-abiding citizens with firearms. They're hunters, they're sportsmen, and they're hobbyists.
Right.
You know, and you know, if somebody that's not supposed to have a gun is going to get a gun, they're probably going to go steal it from one of our law-abiding citizens. You know, so we can't keep the guns out of everybody's hands who might have the potential to harm people with them. But what we can do is have a police presence or our law enforcement presence in the schools, and I don't think on every door, but, you know, we're going to go out, and I've got a retired federal law enforcement agent that's willing to go out and review school district safety plans, review their potential for threats and how to react to them, and I think that's gonna bode well. I think most of the schools will make use of that once we get it online here shortly, and just review the situation. And a lockdown, okay, yes, we come from small-town America, mm-hmm. but that's where these deranged people strike. They don't go to the inner city. There's enough violence in the inner city every day without this. You know, they come out here to rural America, and we have to be ever vigilant on this, and we have to work together to do what we can.
And I think, as we talked about earlier, training is key. And Sheriff Vazzi, it sounds like your deputies and Sheriff Albright, I'm sure your deputies are well-trained in the scenario, if it should happen, given whatever circumstance arise. Because there's many different scenarios that could come into play.
Yeah, time-wise, I mean, in the old days, we used to carry a shotgun in our squad car. Now every one of my officers has an AR, and they practice with that and qualify with that. And I have 3 snipers, plus I have 3 people on the ILEAS special response team that do those type of things and practice also. Matter of fact, I have 3 of them practicing today. And so, yeah, we've tried to maintain that, and we do, it, you know, regularly.
Uncle Ralph?
No, I was just
observing
what these gentlemen are. It's a big problem, and it's going to continue to be a big problem regardless, as Sheriff Albright said. You know, you put people in the schools and stuff, security people, that eliminates a part of the problem, but the problem will always be there, you know. Plain and simple, wanting to take someone else's life in perspective, we've been doing this since biblical times, and they always found a way to get the job done, so it's going to be tough to eradicate it 100%.
And this is where I'm assuming, like, let's say Crime Stoppers and you two, the departments working together, comes into play big time. Because if there's a problem and an individual knows that there's a problem looming, all they got to do is call Crime Stoppers. If they don't want their name published in your books or anything like that, call Crime Stoppers, submit a tip either online or via the 800 number, and it will get handled. Or it will be looked into.
It's been a great big help to all of us, and it will continue. So we do appreciate when they do call Crime Stoppers.
Absolutely. And, you know, our goal, I say our goal, I'm sure Jim agrees with me, is to try to prevent these crimes in the first place, not have to go out and go head-to-head with these people, even though we are well-prepared to do that. We want to try to prevent these crimes. And a lot of your local schools are just like any other small area. They get comfortable with the way things are,
mm-hmm.
and you can't be comfortable. You know, we've got schools in the district that have up to 80 doors on that school, and at any given day, you can probably go out and walk in a door in a school. It has to be restricted access at the very least.
Yeah, you know? We have a lot of old schools also with a lot of
Absolutely.
Doors, a lot of entrances, you know. So, you know, the problem is going to be, and they need to practice themselves.
Right. But in hindsight, though, some of the school districts, I actually not too long ago walked on Staunton's campus for the first time in a long time. I graduated there in 96. They've made improvements to the door structures and
Absolutely.
Everything. So that way, no one that's not supposed to be in that building can get in that building, and they're better protecting themselves. Litchfield's done the same thing. Nokomis has done the same thing. You're starting to see that happen, and I think that's a step in the right direction.
Well, and they are aware of the problems that we have going on around us.
Absolutely, and things are being taken more seriously. You know, not that they weren't taken seriously before, but we've had Staunton School on lockdown for several days now just because there was a threat written in one of the rooms that the school found last week. We've had the school on lockdown. We've had my deputies down there. The local police are handling it along with the school administration. And, you know, we've been down there with our metal detectors, kids coming into school every day. Mm-hmm. And can you believe it? We've had some complaints that the kids have to go through the metal detectors to get into school for their own protection.
Well, we find that, Don. I mean, we can't restrict them. No. We don't want any of their privacy restricted, but they want security.
So you got to
have a happy medium here.
Yeah, we're a land of freedoms, and people enjoy their freedoms. They want to enjoy their freedoms.
Right.
But that's what makes this one of the most dangerous countries in the world, because it is free.
Overall, the rapport that you guys have with your deputies obviously is pretty good, but with the local municipalities that you deal with on a day-in, day-out basis, and even state police, is it pretty good?
Oh, it's very good in Montgomery County. I'm sure it is in Macoupin also. I mean, we have to work hand-in-hand. When they're out there at night or are in the daytime, you know, you're out there alone, and they'll come and back you up and or vice versa because, you know, it's a small community. There aren't that many of us out there. Mm-hmm. But we have to use all the resources we have when we do.
Absolutely. There have been many, many times that Jim's deputies or my deputies have crossed the county line to give aid and assistance to one another because they know they're out there and that's their job to do.
A good example is a couple months ago we had that mega bus accident out there. Every community, every law enforcement, ambulance service, fire station, everybody come in. If they were not doing it at the scene, they were standing by in the communities to help each other. Locally, something happened there. So, I mean, that's what you guys are talking about. Everybody in law enforcement, everything is working together, from school officials to ambulance services, everything.
Yeah, we had ambulances from as far as
Springfield
and then from down south by, you know, Hamilton. Edwardsville and such.
But, I mean, you're talking about working together right there. That's just an example there. It was not this one type of incident, but there was another incident that the community responded well with. I think from Litchfield, Hillsboro, Bunnell, Gillespie, everybody, Carlinville,
Was that a scenario where everything worked right, that all the training that you guys have done to prepare yourselves for a horrific accident like what that megabus accident was, did that tell you, okay, we're in good shape, we know how to respond in case something like this happens again, and everything worked well?
Well, I was extremely proud of my 911 communication center, which handled all those ambulances and helicopters and police agencies and fire departments, and they were able to do that, and within a half hour they had something like 70 people or 80 transported.
Mm-hmm.
All of them knew where everybody was going. They knew, they had them triaged so that they knew who had to go first. So yes, it was one of those where everyone's training, because the fire department's trained, the ambulance is trained, the police department's trained. Everyone's training because they know the importance of it now, Tobin.
All right.
And when you get in a situation like this, gentlemen, and you said, Jim, everyone knew where everybody had to go, 60 seconds towards saving somebody's life might be pretty important, 60 seconds.
Absolutely.
That's just 1 minute.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, you had the Park District, Litchfield. They opened up the community center for basically a mini hospital, so that way the people that needed to be treated got treated, and that was
the ones with the lesser wounds were able to be going there and had a place to shelter, you know, because if everyone on that bus was, you know, from away from here.
Absolutely. Sheriffs, it's always a pleasure having you here. Thank you so much for your time. I'm glad to hear that everything is pretty much in order in case of an incident at a school, that you're ready to go and the training is ongoing. And the thing is, knowledge is key. And as long as the listenership or the residents are knowledgeable or informed about the situation, everything will be fine and everything will be good to go.
We'll be glad that you had us in here, Tobin. And anytime you need us, please call.
Absolutely. Uncle Ralph, next week, on the show. Lisa Reiki from Big Brothers Big Sisters of Macoupin and Montgomery Counties will be our guest. They've got a Bowling for Kids' Sake event coming up soon, and we'll have her in to talk about that and Big Brothers Big Sisters. Also, don't forget, this weekend, Hillsboro's the place to be from what I've been seeing with Stamp Out Cancer. I think they're expecting a record year this year. So
it's been sold out. So.
Yeah, it's sold out. And,
yep.
And I know the dancers have been working very hard. So hopefully that translates into a good donation for the Montgomery County Cancer Association. So until then, we will talk to you next week. So long.